Okay, let's call it order. The City of Pine City Council regular session. That is June 14th, 2017 at 5:30 p.m. Establish a quorum. Start with you, Connie.
Connie Grace, present.
Stu Martinez, present.
Karen Ward, present.
Ron Greiner, present.
And Dennis Scott, present. Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Gordon, you want to lead us in?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we don't want to forget our student representative. Can I get your name for the record?
Yeah. Trenton Tennant.
Yes.
Thank
you. Added agenda items?
None tonight, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to add the animal control. We got a letter of that. I'd like to add it to the next work session if we could, please.
Okay.
Okay. Next time.
Okay.
Next work session. Okay, we need a motion for the consent agenda, and that includes approval of the minutes from May 10th, May 24th, April financial summary, approval of reimbursements and community funding request application. Do we have a motion for that?
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the consent agenda.
A second.
All in favor, aye.
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 All opposed? Passed unanimously. Public comments. Anybody in the audience have anything to say?
No.
No one?
Go ahead, Brad. We're going to use this time to
Have
a seat up here.
Corey, you want
to? Yeah, real quick. I wanted to add Ryan to the front of the agenda, and I also didn't have time to confirm he was going to be able to be here tonight, so we're gonna take a little time during public comments for him to share a little bit about himself and probably you to meet the new Suburban Little Pine Economic Development Area Manager. This is the third day on the job, and we've been keeping him busy so far. He had his first SLED board meeting yesterday, and I've actually been really fortunate to have quite a bit of good time to talk with him about kind of his experience that he brings from Mississippi, and he's hit the ground running. So I won't keep talking. I'll let him share a little bit about himself, and if any of you want to welcome him or ask questions as well.
Yeah, so I'll keep it really brief. I'm Ryan Culp. I'm the new Sun River Lapine Area Director for EDCO, and I work upstairs now, and I'm thrilled to be here. I'm incredibly excited, and I think I'm ready to get into work and start really marketing and pushing all the assets that Lapine has to offer, and I'm really excited about the opportunity. I was here last week with my wife of 2.5 months and our 8-year-old dog, and we are really excited for the better part of the last 3 years. I've worked for the state of Mississippi at the Economic Development Agency there, focusing primarily on the automotive sector, but focusing on general advanced manufacturing and recruiting new manufacturing companies to Mississippi, and feel like I've made a lot of good relationships and learned a lot, and excited to bring that here to Lapine. Past year in Mississippi, I did over 1,000 jobs, and call it $200 million in investment. So that doesn't mean we're going to do that here, but just that
we'd rather you didn't.
Have the passion for it. I love it. I mean, economic development is what I really have a heart for. But I also acknowledge and know that I'm not from Lapine. And so I'm excited about getting to know every one of you and kind of what your vision is and what you want to see, because I understand that I can't do it alone. It kind of takes community for us all to do it together. So excited to learn what you guys want to do and have that conversation one-on-one together sometime. I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
You're welcome.
I happen to sit on the interview board when we interviewed Brian, and this is not his first trip to Oregon. He has spent time here before in, I believe, Smith Rock and Bachelor.
Kind of doing all the outdoor activities, so now I'm here doing life activities, real activities.
So he made quite the impression on the entire EDCO interview board, and Corey was also a success. So my two cents.
Honor, Karen.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Oh.
Thank you.
Well, I'm just, everybody I talk to is excited to have you on board. So that's good. You've got a high scale you have to meet up there, I guess. But I'm sure you can do it. It's great to have you here. I like the new blood and energy, and I think you'll find that here in Lapine. No. Yeah, it's good to be here where you were building the city. That's just my experience. I'm sure you'll run into that too. Welcome aboard. Yeah.
Thank you.
Ryan and I have already talked about getting back in the routine and rhythm of doing maybe a quarterly update from Ryan on to the council of what's going on. Obviously, there's a SLED board rep from the council that meets monthly, but just making sure the council is informed and getting questions answered and knows what our strategy is. Ryan is just going to be spearheading that to get economic development going here. So.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your wife excited to be here?
She loves it. She is thrilled to be out of Mississippi and in Oregon. So,
yeah, well, right over there. What about the dog?
She doesn't like the cold.
Right.
But it's June, so we'll get used to it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm actually getting another EDCO meeting to go to, so I'm going to step out.
Yep. Okay.
Thank you all. I appreciate you.
Okay, we've got a few resolutions here tonight. Number six, resolution number 2017-05, resolution declaring the municipal services provided by the City of Lapine in order to receive state shared revenues. And you're going to have to explain that one, Corey.
This is essentially a resolution that tells the state that we are indeed a city that provides certain city municipal services, and as a result, we're eligible, I suppose is one way to put it, for state share revenues. And so this is the first resolution that allows us to receive funds from the state that will support some of the programs and services we provide.
Okay, does the council have any questions about this? Start with you, Don.
No questions? Nothing? Any Karen, Stu, Tony? Well, does anybody want to make a motion to pass this resolution?
I make a motion to approve resolution number 2017-5, a resolution declaring the municipal services provided by the City of Lapine in order to receive state share revenues.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We should have a roll call vote. Resolutions?
Resolutions you can do by just a regular vote.
Okay. All approved?
Aye.
Opposed? Pass unanimously. Okay, number seven. Resolution number 2017-06, a resolution declaring the city's election to receive state revenues.
So declaring the municipal services wasn't quite enough. The state really wants to make sure that we want some of their money. So this is essentially a resolution, formally declaring that we do indeed want a share of that.
We will take money.
Sure.
Can we have a motion on this one?
I move that we pass resolution number 2017-06, a resolution declaring the city's election to receive state share of revenue.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Pass unanimously. We'll take all the money that anybody wants to give us. Okay, the next one. Next one's a budget hearing. 2017-2018 fiscal year budget. I'll open a public hearing. Staff comments?
Yeah, I'll keep this fairly brief. All of you are familiar with this document, and I hope some of the public has spent some time with this as well. Five citizen reps on the budget committee certainly did back at the beginning of May. This is the city budget begins as a proposed budget that staff puts together, and then it goes to the budget committee, which is made up of the council and then five citizen representatives as well. And then they, if they see fit, approve the budget. And then the third and final phase and place for public input is a council meeting for adoption of the budget. And so I won't go into the details of what is in here, but there's significant investment, as we've talked about a lot, in terms of water and wastewater projects. The city is looking to do some expansion and improvements projects that we've been talking about for several years at this point, longer than that even. And then also some possible staffing changes in terms of hiring a community development director. I was just informed by Ashley a little earlier that we've so far received 29 planning applications this year. That's from January. And then last year we had 48 the entire year. So we're on pace to exceed that. And we're all pretty functioning at our capacity to try to balance those and be responsive and keep development moving forward to help facilitate that. So a proposed change in terms of hiring a community development director and a variety of other improvements, a septic receiving station that makes our Jake Overshaw Public Works manager very happy, and a variety of other improvements. And so this document's been available to the public for a month and a half, essentially, at this point. And it has been approved by the budget committee and is here for council for adoption.
Okay, do we have any public comments on the budget? Anybody look at it? Questions? Nothing? Well, if that's the case, we close the public hearing. And any comments from the council on it?
I'll start. I thought the budget was put together wonderfully this year. It was a very readable document, a lot more user-friendly for the general public than it has been in the previous years. And I just want to note that effort was put in by staff, and they did a really good job on it. So.
I'll echo what Connie just mentioned. Input by the staff was, I think, more detailed than it has been in the past, and the document itself was scrutinized by the entire committee. Good discussion on the contribution requests, so I think another one that the city could be proud of presenting to the public and approving.
Don?
I believe everybody on the council had an opportunity to pretty much peruse the budget, and I do think that it was very well prepared this year, and I think we did a good job of kind of saving the city as much money as we could.
Karen?
I agree. It was an easy budget. It was well explained. I enjoyed the time I spent on it. Thank you.
And I'll just say I like all the comments, activities from the council, the budget committee. I mean, everybody had a nice input this year. I like how nice and balanced and the reserve funds we have in almost every single category, which not many cities can brag about that. And thank you, Corey and staff, for doing that. Okay, let's go on to number 9 then. Resolution 2017-07. Resolution adopting the 2017-18 fiscal year budget and appropriating funds for the City of La Pine. Can we have a motion on this?
A motion that we approve resolution number 2017-7. Do I need to read the whole thing? We just read it. Resolution adopting the 2017-18 fiscal year budget and appropriating funds for the City of La Pine.
Second. Don seconds. All in favor? Aye.
All opposed? Budget passed unanimously. Well, we're moving right along here. Okay, the next one, number 10. This one might take a little bit longer. Resolution number 2017-08. A resolution of the City of Pine establishing certain fees, rates, and charges concerning planning and related land use services. I believe we have a scale of what the fees would be.
Exhibit A is the fee schedule for what the city charges for land use fees, planning fees, development fees. Those are all synonymous terms. There really aren't any major changes to this. The the main thing we're doing is actually cleaning and updating this and actually formally adopting it, since it had been adopted in 2013, only for an effective period of January 1, 2014 to June 30th, 2014. And then supposedly never got picked back up since then. But the gist of the changes, if you look at number six, it says code interpretation slash exception. That is, what we've done is we've delineated, we've separated number six and number 11. Those used to be one fee. And the number six now is, if there's a process that requires time by the city, the planner, to be spent on interpreting the code, but it's not a formal land use application, they can request that, and then it would be essentially a $150 fee to interpret the code. I'll give you an example. The land use compatibility statements, the LUCSes that are required by the marijuana businesses. The LUCS is a form that the state creates to talk to the local jurisdictions to say, hey, is this located in a zone or an area that meets your rules? And so for us to take the time to review that and to sign it and to send it back, that essentially is being interpreted as a code interpretation. So that's an example of what could fall into that. Number 11 is an actual acceptance request. That's more of a formal application for the Planning Commission or Council, if it got there, if it was appealed to grant an exception to one of the rules in the code. So there's a much more formal process that requires more time, therefore it's a much higher fee. Down on number 28, the vacation of a right-of-way, that is completely new in the fee schedule. We had never had a vacation of right-of-way application or a fee associated with that. And so we've processed one of those applications, and I would expect it could be normal course of action for other right-of-way vacations to come in the future. And so we added that into the fee schedule. And we created an application from scratch a handful of months ago as well to facilitate that process. And then the final one that's new is number 31, this zoning permit application that's $250. When someone builds in the city of Lapine, someone wants to build a commercial building or for commercial purposes, that triggers a site plan application. And there's fees in the middle of the schedule that dictates that. However, if someone is moving into an existing building and not necessarily changing or building something new, but they're still changing the use of the building, that does require, in some cases or most cases, review by the city to make sure they're in compliance. We had no middle ground. You wouldn't want it to be unfair or unreasonable to charge someone $1,000 or more for just that small process, but we never had it formally set in the fee schedule. And so the zoning permit is a mechanism that is referenced in several of our land use ordinances and sections of our land use ordinance that gives the city an opportunity to review what's occurring while they're not building something new as well. Does that make sense? It's kind of a change of use permit to a degree. So those were the only changes on the fee schedule. And we did look at other cities, and we talked extensively with Tammy Wisco, our planner right now, to make sure these were in line and seem reasonable, and they do. So those are the only changes that we're recommending.
Okay, Council, have any comments? Are you done this time?
I feel some of them are too high, but it's already in the way, and I guess it's one of those things that that's the way it should be.
And real quick on that note, that's a good point, Don. Ultimately, the city, we have in the past, and we do subsidize land use development. Our job is to facilitate, not to stop or necessarily be a burden at all, not to be a burden at all, but to facilitate. And so ultimately our goal is to try to get the fees to balance the time and the cost that the city incurs to help facilitate that process. And most of them, I would say, are in line with that, to just help cover our costs and facilitate review for our codes. Great observation. We're done.
I would add to that, Don, if you want me to, I can send you the fee schedule that we reviewed from Sisters that is very, very similar to ours.
Okay.
But Sisters is not Lapine. We're two different communities.
We were just trying to stay in line with the area, but if you want to look at it, I was just offering
to forward
it.
That's fine. I'm worried about Lapine. I'm not worried about Sister Ben or any of the rest of them.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Karen, do you have any comments on it? No? Stu?
I think it's just the perfect balance. It covers staff's time to take care of what we need to make sure is properly being addressed in the city, so I'm totally in favor of it.
I trust city staff's decision on this.
Okay, well, since it's been in effect since 2014, I mean, that's not raising it. My opinion is good to go.
The final note I'd say real quick is, you know, getting up to when we transition from being on a contract basis with a planner to having a full-time planner in-house, that might be a good opportunity after they've been on board for a while, maybe heading into next fiscal year, this time next year, a little earlier in the spring, to look at it again and then to reassess. I mean, this is something that's completely amendable or up, you know, can update it, you can lower it, you can increase it, and we do, we want to be receptive to the community and to the costs.
So I wondered that, yeah, that ought to go along with, you know, when we review any fees. Okay. Well, if there's no other comments, do I have a motion for 2017-8?
Sure. So move we approve resolution number 2017-08.
Have a second?
I'll second.
First and second, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? The fees continue. Okay, then the next one is something we've been meeting for quite some time, I think. Number 11, resolution number 2017-09, a resolution of the City of Lapine establishing certain cemetery fees and charges.
Yes, we talked about this at the work session last time. We're looking to increase the rates to $225. We want to put a lot more time and effort into the cemetery this year. We took it over a while back and just haven't had the time to really go into detail or do too much up there, but we want to invest into the cemetery, and this is one way of doing that. Help cover the costs of doing some more additions up there and making things look nice again and having a good platform and template for the cemetery moving forward.
Okay, Stu, you have anything to say on this?
I think you caught him with his mouth.
Oh, okay. Connie?
No, I think we've talked about it, and I think it's good that we're going to pay some attention to the cemetery. It's
absolutely
a reflection of our community. I didn't talk long enough, apparently.
We'll do it out here, Stu. Don?
I feel that it's much needed, and it's something good, and I think that it'll help us kind of improve our cemetery.
Lots of improvement.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
there are some improvements that do need to be made, very small ones, but out there this past Memorial Day for the cemetery that the mayor was kind enough to speak at, for the first time in I don't know how many years, Z21 was out there reporting. And it was nice to see coverage. But, you know, it kind of showed the improvements that do need to be made out there. So I think this is a first step in trying to make some of those improvements and improve our appearance, but I'm all for it.
Yeah, I'll have to ditto Sue's remarks. My God, there must have been 150 out there on that Memorial Day service. I mean, that shows the interest in that cemetery. It definitely needs improvements. It's quite a jump. What was the rate prior to this?
75.
75, so it's going to 75 to 225. But, you know, it's needed. I mean, we gotta make the improvements. It's a nice location. As community interest is out there, so That's my opinion on it. So, under that, can we have a motion on this resolution?
I move that we approve resolution number 2017-09, a resolution of the City of Lapine establishing certain cemetery fees and charges.
Second.
First and second, all approve. Say aye.
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 Opposed? Unanimously passed. And I just, when does this go into effect?
July 1.
Okay.
You can still get it at 75.
You got 16 more days.
But you can't buy a lot of machinery.
No, I just need.
He only needs one.
Are pets allowed?
We had that conversation with the working group, yes. And you know, I would have to refer back to those rules and regulations. I don't know. I think we said no.
I think we said no.
Anything that said that. So
yeah,
we could always start a pet cemetery somewhere.
Yeah. Okay, don't go.
Yeah, I wanted to buy 5 or 6 and hold them and then sell them later, and they thought that wasn't very good thing to do.
No speculating. We wrote that in.
Yeah. Okay, on to the next one. This is sort of exciting. I see a stranger in the crowd, so this is number 12, appointment of Brad Tower to the Duda Chews County Bike and Pedestrian Advisory Committee, which is called BPAC. I assume you're Brad?
Yeah.
You want to come up and give us your name? And
Stan?
Sit
right up here.
Pull the mic close.
Yeah, we got to have these things on record.
Sounds good.
His, real quick, just his resume and cover letter were included in the packets. If the red light's on, he should be good to go again. Okay. On the bottom.
Oh, just a quick intro of who I am?
Tell us about who you are, okay. Where you're at, where you come from.
Okay, sounds good.
Why do you want to do this?
Sounds good. Okay, my name's Brad Tower. I'm from Boise, Idaho. I grew up there. My family since 1991. Purchased some property here in Lapine at Burgess and Day. And went to school at the University of Idaho. I got bachelor's degrees in civil engineering and philosophy, and then stuck around for master's in civil engineering. That's where I focused on, if I were to just quote the title of my thesis, it was prioritizing bicycle facility improvement projects based on low-stress network connectivity, so just coming up with different methods for public agencies to prioritize if they have a limited budget, what would they, where would they look to invest their money and get the most bang for their buck, if they will, based on their priorities as a community. So I'm currently now working in Bend, Oregon. Been working there for about 2.5 years. I started at WH Pacific until they closed their doors, so I'm now currently working with Dow, which is just down the street. I lived there for about a year, and as the real estate's been booming, got the book. I think they wanted to up the prices, so I'm living at our place in Lapine for a few years until my folks decide to retire down there. And I'm happy doing what I'm doing in the office I'm in, but certainly my passion is definitely multimodal transportation topics, you know, so looking for other ways for people to get around, not to delegitimize the automobile, but I think in the States, you know, sometimes it's overlooked some of the other options. So when I heard about BPAC, definitely got extremely excited and chatted with Cheryl Howard, and they opened up a position, and hoping to, you know, get some work done and hopefully continue, you know, making improvements around here in Lapine.
Okay, let's ask him anything we want to ask him. Go ahead, Don.
No, I'm fine with it.
Okay.
I'm very qualified.
Stu,
who are you?
I think you need to connect with our economic development person, and because I think he's got some background in different modes of transportation as well.
Totally.
So, you know, Lapine, we need some sort of businesses, new businesses here, so maybe, you know, different types of transportation could fit into that, and maybe come up with some ideas.
That's music to my ears. You know, most of the time I talk about this stuff with the folks in my office, and some folks roll their eyes, you know, but anybody that's, you know, has an open ear, I'd love to chat it off, you know. Definitely is what I'm all about, you know, so I would love to hear it.
Welcome.
Appreciate it.
Excited that somebody's excited about it. There's definitely things that are overlooked, and without having someone in that position to push some of that forward, just even some new paving projects that we have that are going on that by means were overlooked, and I think it's important. And we do have a fair amount of biking events in this area. Cycle Oregon's going to be here this year. There's another one. There's a couple of them anyway, but I think it's often overlooked, and I think it definitely needs to have somebody paying attention to it, so we're excited you're here.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of opportunity, and I really think there could be some economic stimulus. You know, when you just brought up the Cycle Oregon, talk about how many people come into town, and obviously they need places to stay, food to eat, you know, so a lot of potential. So.
Yeah, definitely. Welcome.
I'll say that, that's even for the state of Oregon, bike and pedestrian is a big topic now. And of course, my little pet thing that I want is to have a bike trail all the way from Wiki up down the First Street. You know, every time I see an ODOT person, I'm pushing that. So Corey will know that. He probably gets sitting here and say it. But look at the comp plan. Our comp plan has, the whole city being encircled with paths. So look at that. And you'll be able to get off to go to these meetings, because even at the COAC meeting, there's always people there from, the BPAC.
That's not
going to interfere with work or anything.
I don't think so, yeah. I mean, if it's typically around this hour, I know lunch is easy to swing after work, and, we have flexible schedules. If it's something where, if it's earlier in the day, I just get to work earlier and make sure I hit my 8 or 9 hours, so it shouldn't be an issue to balance the two. So.
And are you doing anything Friday morning?
Friday morning. Yeah, sure. What time are we talking?
It's early.
Oh.
7:30.
I probably would be free by then. Yeah.
Well, if you're free, I'd love to have you come to the chamber breakfast.
Okay.
It's at the senior center.
Okay. That's this Friday.
This Friday.
Okay.
Might
follow up and.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
It'd be nice if you talk to the community business leaders and everybody that's anything goes to those things.
Okay.
Once in a while. Yeah. And Stu's a cook, so you might get something to eat.
Depends what time, how early I have to get up.
It starts at 7:30, so a little bit before.
Sounds good.
And I'll meet you there. So.
Okay.
I thought I had ideas to put into work quick, but I can't meet Friday morning at 7:30.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we've got a lot, obviously the transit center, the ideas about the multimodal connectivity paths, the streetscape project that's coming through town. I mean, this is a hot topic, like you said, across the state, across the region. And I think with someone who's active, the BPAC is an advisory committee really to the county. And so if we have and the county's a big partner of ours, obviously there's a lot of county roads around here inside the city limits and outside. And so, no pun intended, a squeaky wheel there would help us go a long ways to get some of these things prioritized in South County. So,
I mean, honestly, a large battle is just having support. So the fact that you folks are so, gung-ho about this is fantastic. I mean, I think that would be the upward battle. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see you.
Sounds good.
We'll after 7.
Sounds great.
We'll after 7.
Sounds great.
Thank you.
Good. Yeah, appreciate it.
Okay, welcome aboard.
I want to do a
funny motion. I got that. We better wait until we put them officially here, I guess. Okay, anybody want to make a motion that we accept Brad K. Tower as the new BPAC person from Lapine?
I make that motion.
I'll second it.
First and second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Unanimously, thank you very much, Brad. We'll expect wonders from you.
7.
Okay, we have no other matters. Public comments. Gary, nothing? Whoa. Anybody else? No public comments. Staff comments.
I'll keep it brief. I know Jake's got some things to share. He's had a fun week so far. I'll just hint towards that. Just a lot of planning activity going on, a lot of meetings, coordinating projects that are occurring next fiscal year. So, I mean, even earlier today was meeting with with ODOT on the streetscape project and talking about what improvements will be occurring on 4th Street when they do the highway improvements. So the Transit Center property, they're obviously everything on the highway is already locked in. They've got plans for that. But we had had conversations with them about them doing phase, kind of quote, phase one improvements on the Transit Center. So what does that mean? What does that look like? Probably what it'll look like is some, at the very least, an 8-foot sidewalk around the property. It might include some other features, bus pullouts, maybe the landscaping potentially, things like that. So a lot of meetings on that. The Transportation Growth Management Grant, which I'll actually be hopefully trying to get Brad involved in, on a stakeholder interview to shed some light as well and be and offer some input. That's kicked off. And so, again, that's a grant through the state, through Department of Land Conservation and Development, and through ODOT. And so there, the consultants will be here next Wednesday interviewing about 10 stakeholders from throughout the community representing pretty much every group you can think of, demographic group to a degree, and stakeholder groups. And then they'll be working with the Planning Commission over the next, I'd say, couple months. And then ultimately it'll transition into some joint work sessions between the Council and the Planning Commission, and then culminate probably over the winter with the Council and some recommendations to amend the code. And this is an exciting project. It took a while for it to kick off, but this will really help lay the foundation for the next decade plus of development and how the city will look and feel in the long run. So excited to see that kick off. All kinds of stuff, pretty much from A to Z. But work session on the 28th, we'll have a special session before then to try to move along a couple of planning applications, actually another right-of-way vacation, and another land use application, and then some good items on the work session, maybe another one to add. So I'll make sure to send out the agenda early and talk with all of you on that. But Public Works Department, hanging in there.
All right. Lighter note, me and Corey got the privilege to meet with the City of Prineville last week and get a tour with Anderson Perry on the project they did with their wastewater treatment for discharge. They use a wetland style system, which was pretty unique, and it's pretty nice setup they have up there. A lot of bird viewing spots, they put a lot of consideration. They even designed a 5K around part of some of the ponds and a 3K so they could do races and bike ped type stuff. And it's really interesting what they're doing up there. It was really neat. It was kind of a fun Friday to get out and do stuff. Kind of a Friday before the storm hit. We had a pretty busy weekend. I was on call and unfortunately got the call that a lift station went down over the weekend for one of our smaller lift stations, but kept it coming along until Tuesday morning. We had a tech come from the valley to help me work on some pumps, and I got to be the guinea pig that went down into the hole and got to pull the pumps. And this lift station's running again, and we got another pump coming from New York right now, and things are going, but looking forward to getting another utility worker on staff here. And that position, the opening will close tomorrow at 5, so we got some good applications in. Looking forward to that. We're running pretty lean and mean right now, but it's getting busy. We're having fun and learning lots, and things are getting done regardless. If you guys have any questions, feel free. It's been a fun couple days.
Well, I had someone earlier comment, but I'll ask you now. How much money did we spend on cleanup? How many dumpsters are going to have to figure yet?
I don't have the figure yet.
And did we get invoiced yet? I don't think we got invoiced yet.
I'll look into it tomorrow.
I know we had 4 overflowing dumpsters.
Right. Yeah.
So there's probably 6 at least.
Right. And it could have been the county could have, just let some of that. They've done in the past, but they just kind of forgive some of that because they want to support the cause as well. But we'll get those numbers for you this week.
Okay, and how about the mosquitoes?
Mosquitoes, yes.
Give us an update on that.
You bet. Edward, our mosquito sprayer, what is it? What's the name of it? Mosquito, Three Rivers Mosquito Vector?
Control, yeah.
They have a website now you can get to from our website, a link that'll tell you his schedule and the different chemicals they're using. It's actually a pretty neat web page that they built just for us. If you guys have any information about mosquito spraying, go to that and it'll tell you everything you want to know. We're going to look into next year doing a lot more preventative mosquito spraying, more like on the larva side, because most of this ponding water has been our nemesis this year. A lot of water, standing water around from the harsh winter we had. And some of these mosquitoes can be prevented sooner, I believe, than just spraying the adults as they come up.
So they've done a lot of spraying already.
They have. A lot. They've done quite a bit.
Yeah, we had a complaint. I've actually received maybe two complaints. I don't know, has anyone received a lot of complaints about mosquitoes? Oh, you have? Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. Recently, even in the last couple days? Or
last week? Not this week.
Not this week. Okay, so because I did get a complaint for someone over on Mack Court, over on the east side of town, and that was last week, and then he called me, I don't know, a couple days ago, it might have been Friday or Monday, and said, it's great now. And so I think it's one of those things that will come in waves, and obviously if there's a big hatch, and then depending on when the spray, when they go make the rounds, you know, there will be some intermittent times, but we're monitoring it and keeping in touch with the our contract.
Well, I'm asking because it's a hot topic around.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I know that you said you were going to look at some preventative for next year, but are we looking at maybe some additional spraying because the standing water is still really bad?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I have a vacation property on one side and an empty lot on the other that both have standing water and in front of mine. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I can only imagine that all up and down the Little Lee, it's the same way. So.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of water this year.
I wasn't sure if we were trying to do something this year with that. Or...
yeah, we can, for sure.
I was talking to Dennis about it a little bit. I wasn't sure if it was an issue getting to those because like all of mine, the only accessible way is from the river or private property.
Right.
That would be an issue. I mean, that's something we need to look at. There might be, I don't know the ins and outs of the industry or the environmental components, but I know there's a different element to it when you start putting whatever they call a larvicide, I don't know, into bodies of water. Even if it's a, you know, is it a wetland? Is it not a wetland? Is it on private property? Is it not on private property?
I said it's not doable, but I think there's a permit process too with the state allowing that on different bodies of water.
But we should look into that. My thought would be that it, depending on the level, and we want to hear if things are bad, so let us know that we could work with a contractor to spray more frequently, mm-hmm. or in certain parts of town as well, depending on how things are going. I mean, obviously, I would assume someone who lives closer to the Little Deschutes is going to have a rougher time than someone who's out in Shopline Court.
Yeah, and it's definitely been a different year. I mean, in the past, when the rivers rose like it does, it usually turns around and goes back down, and it stayed high this year. And the way that some of those properties were built is there's an intentional swale. And so that's the way the properties in front of us, there's an intentional swale there that fills up with water and it's now stagnant standing water. So I don't know past that block of houses what that's like, you know, in other areas, but I know that it's pretty bad right there. And they definitely are, there's more of them. They're more invasive this year, for sure.
Definitely. So.
Well, and being right in town, next to the biggest stagnant area around, I think right now they're on top of it. The last several days, I haven't seen but maybe two mosquitoes.
Right. I want to say that it was like the end of May when I really started noticing coming out. You know, coaching softball and stuff, I was like, man, they're bad this year. In the last few weeks, really gotten a lot better. Whether it's some of it's weather change too, a little bit probably,
right.
But they have been spraying a lot more.
And my friends over at Prairie House, they do venture outside, and their scooters are very thankful for being able to go out in their scooters and not be bitten alive.
Mm-hmm.
So far, I think, despite the water, they've been doing pretty good. I have a feeling the worst is yet to come.
Okay, anything else?
Well, if you guys got anything, free.
Ashley, anything? Almost that? Okay, council comments. Let's start with our student representative. I've excluded him so far.
it's cool being here. I guess it's the first meeting, so it's exciting. And I'm hoping I can get to talk a little bit more. My voice is kind of gone right now, but I am hoping I can talk a little more in coming meetings. And the next meeting, did I hear, was the 28th? Because I won't be here for that one. I'll be on my national trip for FBLA in California. So that's, and then for the next several meetings after that, I should be able to make it to all of them. So.
Okay, we will hold that one against you then.
As long as we've got a good email address on record for you, you're getting the agendas and things. Okay, so just check that regularly and coordinate with Holly so we know whether to expect you or not. Thanks.
I always listen to the city council meetings on the website too.
Yeah. And I apologize for not including you all the time. Sometimes I get carried away and forget. So we'll make a point of that in the future.
It's totally fine. I'll jump in if I really gotta say something.
Yeah, we'd like to hear from you, seriously.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Trey started getting really comfortable towards the end, but don't take that long.
He told me the same thing. He's like, don't wait so long to talk. It's like, okay.
Okay, Don.
Well, in our area, we've got swallows and nighthawks, and they really bombard the mosquitoes. And last week they were very full, but this week they've had to really hunt to find food. So it's improved a lot in our neighborhood. And really, I told Corey about it, how we had received some complaints in our neighborhood. The same persons I went back to and checked, and they have no complaints now. So evidently, whenever they sprayed this time, it really took it backward. Otherwise, tomorrow I'm going to the Small Cities Network meeting, and I'll have a report when I come back from there. Otherwise, everything in our neighborhood looks pretty good.
Where's the Small Cities this year? Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Where do you have to go for them?
Metolius, I think it is.
Oh, okay. Not too far away.
Not far at all. 60-some miles.
Yeah.
Do you want to go?
No.
Oh.
No. I'm just asking.
Oh.
Karen.
On the mosquito subject, tonight I got into my car, and six of them got in my car, and they got transported to City Hall.
You take them to Crescent Creek where the Nighthawks
live. Other than that, I'm excited that the cemetery is going to be beautified, and I hope we get a wall someday. Other than that, that's all I gotta say.
Okay,
Steve. Not a lot. Just wanna publicly acknowledge a thank you to any of the citizens that attended the memorial out there at the cemetery over the holiday. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it to the last sled meeting, which was yesterday.
Yeah.
So I'll defer that to the city manager. Were you in attendance?
I was.
Okay. For an update on that. I see a lot of excitement down at the north end of Huntington. Big equipment operating up there. So that's exciting. That's that and the landscaping going on at the by Taco Bell. And along the, by the community clinic is looking really good. Things are happening in our little community, and I think there's more to come, it sounds like. So summer is here.
Hey,
Connie. Hey. So I attended the COIC's board meeting on the, I think it was the first actually, and I'm actually on a subcommittee with them as well to make sure our strategic planning is where we want it to be. It's been a couple of years since it's been done, so we're reevaluating that and making sure our priorities are still in the right place. And we've got our membership, board membership with COIC, that issue straightened out, so we should have, we've had to approve a lot of minutes and then we have budget this last meeting as well, so it's been a busy session with them. And also on that note, House Bill 2745B passed the Senate and is on the governor's desk for signature, which is the transportation to where we can get some local transportation going and local control over that and stuff. So I'm excited about that. That's what I have.
Okay. Let's say more, a little more on that. Karen Friend did a tremendous job promoting that. I mean, every single city in three counties supported it. The only people that didn't support it is our county commissioners, but that's a different story. They'll bring that up at a later date. But it's basically we're all the little cities are in control of their own transportation, where we don't get sucked into Ben or Redmond or Madras or somewhere.
The change in that happened towards the end was that in order for anything to pass, it'll have to pass all of them at once. And then individually they can pass them together after that, or individually after that. But so it's kind of a little bit confusing.
Okay, on my behalf here, I talked to Bob Bryan, the head of ODOT, Section 4, asked him to build the bridge. And of course, there's still no answers on the overpass. They're still doing their testing, so there's no update on that. And the reason I asked for the breakfast, I thought it was a good idea for all staff to be at the chamber breakfast so they could be introduced to all the business leaders in the community, because, in the last year, we almost had a whole new staff. I mean, except for Ashley, she's our agent person now. She's the one we have to go to find out what happened in the past, but I just thought it was nice that all the business leaders, see the new faces and what they do and what they are. So hopefully we'll see everybody there, even if we can pull Jake away from his wife, but we don't necessarily have to do that. So, and how many applications do we have now? Are we getting a few?
There's 8 or 9 then.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's good selection.
All it takes is one, right? One good one.
And, this is a sore subject. Is there anything to report on ordinance enforcement?
I left a voicemail with Chris Taboni about 2 hours ago, trying to follow up on that railroad property. It's toward the south end of the railroad, right about when you take the turn.
The trailers?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, the trailers. And I didn't get a hold of him, but I was trying to check in on what the status of that was. James Lewis, this is a little separate, it's more of an older code enforcement issue, but the other railroad property to the north of that the county now owns, actually was pulled from the auction, and they are going to be spending, he told me the quote they got was about $14,000 to hire, they have to actually hire folks who are essentially have a hazmat team to go in and scrape that site clean for how many things, liabilities, needles, etc. were on there. They had kind of work crews out there doing a lot of it, and then they got to a point where they went, no, this is not safe or sanitary. So anyways, they're working on that. I'm glad to hear, excited to meet you, to check in with him, because that looks about as bad as it has for the last several years. And other than that, not really. I haven't initiated anything recently. I've got actually a couple letters on violations of the sign ordinance that I have been meaning to send out that I haven't yet, which is kind of a different one, but it's worth doing. That's all I got right now.
Jeff, I haven't officially engaged in any, but during the cleanup week, I stopped at a few residences, and they had some noticeable like trash problems and stuff, and kind of checked in with them and said, hey, we're doing cleanup this week. If we could take care of some of this, I won't have to come back next week and do an official write-up. We got free dumpsters, I can give them some locations, went back to those places. Some of it was all gone, which was pretty nice.
That's awesome.
They are really appreciative. So I did do a little bit of that, but nothing officially yet.
That's great. And I just want to mention the Swaylen Health Center sidewalks look great, wonderful.
Almost done, we're getting close.
Yeah, yeah. I see the big boulders out there.
Yeah, we gotta go place those. I handpicked some last week, put caution tape around the ones I wanted up at Vic's Pit for the project. So Hopefully those arrive here pretty quick.
Oh, you know, the pavers and the sidewalk and the landscaping, I think that's looked great. We'll have to talk about that more in the future or sometime, I think. So that's all I have. Did you want to report on?
Yeah, I'll do a quick update on the SLED board meeting yesterday. There were actually a handful of folks who weren't in attendance. It's probably the least attended meeting I've been at, but it's June. There's a lot of things going on. People are traveling for work and other things going on. So we did have some really good discussion. There were only a few discussion items. The first was on the CC&Rs that are out on the industrial park. There's two sets of CC&Rs. We've talked about this. We talked about this at the SLED board actually back in March originally. And the CC&Rs, one pertain to violation of federal law. It says you cannot violate federal, local, state, or federal law. And these were put in place in 1992, so 25 years ago. The county had lost track of them. The city was never informed. The only way you really know that CC&Rs exist is by pulling a title report, looking at the deed and the title of the property. So that raises an issue with the land use amendments we've made in terms of allowing recreational marijuana production and processing, regulated to our standards, but in violation of the CC&Rs. The city does not administer the CC&Rs, and we cannot do that. However, we also must process a land use application when it's submitted to us. So that's a really interesting limbo that I think is problematic. And so as a result, what we had done is the SLED board had said, let's get rid of the CC&Rs. These are antiquated. They're covered by the city's local control and regulation and land use ordinances. And then I had a letter that was drafted and circulated with council sent to the county, but it wanted to be brought back up. Ultimately, brought back up by Phil Anderson, the county commissioner, who's the SLED board rep from the county. And ultimately, the county commission has to vote to initiate the repeal of the CC&Rs because they're the declarant of the CC&Rs going back 25 years for one set and 15 years for the other set, 2002. Those pertain to the business park. And so we had a lengthy conversation on that, but SLED, the board, reaffirmed that they want the CC&Rs removed, and we had a very hearty discussion on that. And so I'm actually in the process working with Ryan to draft a letter from SLED saying, which is probably what we should have done in March or April, but to go with the letter from the city council saying SLED is recommending the removal of the CC&Rs. So that was almost an hour of conversation at the meeting. The next point of discussion on the agenda was in regards to having a realtor of record, someone who was the designated listing agent for the publicly owned land in the industrial park. And I had a good conversation with Ryan on Monday, and we continued that conversation at the SLED board meeting. And really, the consensus was that Ryan, if he's doing his job right, he is, to a degree, the realtor of record. He is the person who's steering the marketing, the promotion, the, hey, you need to look at Lapine because we've got, you need 20 acres, we've got 20 acres. And so he's going to be working on creating an action plan, I'd say a 3-month action plan, and presenting to the SLED board of how he is going to recommend promoting the land. One of the key points of that, probably the most important point that hopefully will get set up really soon, would be creating a LoopNet account. LoopNet is a real estate site that essentially is only for commercial properties. So, you see MLS. Well, really only what you see on MLS is residential properties. So you don't want to be, if you're marketing commercial land, MLS is really not where you need to be marketing it. You need to be marketing it on LoopNet. And there's no reason that we can't list the land on LoopNet and have Ryan be the point of contact. My main concern also was getting too many cooks in the kitchen, per se. If you've got a realtor of record who's a point of contact, but really they have no part in negotiating the deal or the actual land sale, they then pass them off to Ryan, who then kind of works and hands it off to me to a degree, and then ultimately we still have to give it to the county to sign off on a lease or a purchase option or a sale. So that's if the goal is to streamline and simplify to help spur economic development, I think a realtor of record would be the wrong way to go. And so SLED agreed. Ultimately, we need to do something that works. And so I think getting Ryan on board and seeing where we're at in 3 or 6 months and then possibly not saying that the topic could never happen, but seeing how I think Ryan will function, how it should function, that sled manager role, I think will accomplish that. So that was the other point of discussion. And the final point was on the annual luncheon. And I think we earlier in the previous meeting had said, well, obviously Ryan's just getting on board now. July and August is tough, so we have tentatively planned in September for having the annual luncheon. And so Ryan's going to be working with Thomas Samwell, who's with Sun River Resort, trying to narrow down a facility we could use. Last year it was held at the Crosswater Golf Club clubhouse, and so they're going to work together, and Ryan's going to come back with some recommendations at the July SLED meeting, with the intent of getting that annual luncheon scheduled in July. So those are the three items that we talked about. Yeah.
Sounded like a good one, or not a good one to miss.
There was some good discussion. There was a lot of James Lewis from Deschutes County was there, the property manager. Roger Lee was there offering some input as well. Rick was there. It was his last day with this. I mean, he's on contract till June, the end of June, but it was kind of his last day. He was cleaning out his office upstairs and handing off binders and things.
Well, I think about that with Rick. He's done so much for the city. We haven't discussed doing anything for him. He really, you know, we tried to do.
He's something. Anti.
Yeah. I know he's anti that, but I mean, it just feels funny not doing something for him.
One thing that I tried to get set up for him, because he loves, as we know, to float the rivers and to bass fish. And I found a bass pole that I thought we could engrave something on that pole, because he will not accept plaques or, you know, anything like that. He is not that type of person. He would rather have something in his hand out there fishing.
I can relate to that, but I still think if we do something like that, I think the city owes him something.
Yeah. Well, he also really likes black velvet, but that's probably not a good gesture to handle that. So,
maybe we can,
put our heads together.
Yeah, let's we got to do something
to be a good gesture. He'd appreciate that.
Yeah. And then I forgot one thing.
Okay, go ahead.
I want to thank I did attend the high school awards ceremony on Thursday, and our mayor was there presenting Anderson Perry's scholarship that they gave to the city, and I got
a representative from Anderson Perry there.
Yeah, you guys did an awesome job, so kudos to the city and Anderson Perry.
It ended up being for a student who's interested in engineering, is that right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's it up to the engineering department, and they basically picked out one that's interested, plus that's going on.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to ask a question.
Sure.
Corey, if you remember, I talked to you about a dump that's out by Crescent Creek that's back in the side of it there. I also talked to our Tony DeMone, our commissioner, and he hasn't got back to me either, and I'm wondering if there's anything at all being done about it, or if it's just sitting there.
You're talking about the wood, the shrubs, and the...
It's a whole bunch of stuff back there. There's big piles of stuff.
But not trash and tires and appliances. I mean, it's like
some
woody
of it's trash.
Okay.
And there's been people back there camping, and there was a fire. Remnants of a fire back there, and those are things I think that should be addressed somehow.
Okay, I remember seeing an email chain that went back and forth between Tom Anderson, someone else at the county, I think Tony, and then I thought I forwarded it to you, or I thought you were involved in that, but let me find that, because that was what they were going to reach out. It was on private property, and the county was going to reach out to them about something.
I've heard it twice. I've heard that it was private property, then I was told that it was county property, and then again I was told it was private property. So until somebody looks up the tax records, I don't think that anybody will know for sure.
Who told you those things? Who told you that it was private and then public and then private?
Tony was the one that told me that it was private.
Okay.
And I think you and I discussed it and thought it was public.
Okay. Okay. Let me find that email chain. I'll forward it to you. In terms of the camping, you know, that I can talk with the sheriff's department. That would be about the extent of what we could do in that regard. But if it's a fire hazard or property that needs to be cleaned up, I can look at that. If it's county land, they need to do that. If it's private, it's a different process. But we can look into that. I thought I saw an email chain going back and forth at least a month, maybe more than that ago. But I'll look it up and forward it to you tonight, Don.
Well, it's just something that to me, I mean, there hasn't been any camping back there recently, but it was during the winter sometime, which means the fire hazard was not nearly as bad at that time. But some of the neighbors have told me that they have seen students back in there smoking. Now, I haven't, so I can't verify that that's true, but if that's the case, I know that on my property, some students smoking started a fire. So it's something we need to be fairly diligent about.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. Those of you who live in the Cagle neighborhood and drive a little farther north on Huntington often, if you recall seeing just south of Cagle where there was a whole bunch of big mounds of trees and brush and all that, I had some code complaints on that probably the middle of last month. Yeah, and I actually knew who the property owner was. They'd done a partition application to split that lot into three different lots, and then they cleared it, and they hadn't they had taken the brush down, but had not cleared it. And so I reached out to them, and that's a good outcome of code enforcement, where I spoke with her, and she said, you know, we just got busy, tied up with other things, and they said they were going to prioritize it, and they did. And the same person who lives in Cagle, who had an earful for me, ended up baking me lasagna, so I ate for a week because she was appreciative of following through and getting that cleaned up, and so that was nice. Which it doesn't solve your issue, Don, but it reminded me of that other fire hazard
lasagna.
This yeah, basically.
Has to go in the queue with the rest of them.
Well, that's part of it. And the fire, I think the issue of the wood material and that. That's going to be a challenging one for, it always is a challenging one for us, just because of where we live and the nature of the lodge pole and the understory and the high needles. And that doesn't mean forget about it, but it does mean we can pick and choose kind of what we can do and how we can enforce it. But I'll follow up on that, Don. I'm glad you mentioned.
Well, let me just mention one thing since we're way ahead of time here. Besides a cleanup day, I'm trying to set up a tire cleanup day. Like on a Saturday, because the fire department actually has a grant for that, to pick up tires, and maybe an appliance day. You know,
yeah,
we'll spread it out so we keep the word up front, you know, the cleaning stuff up.
Definitely. And on that note, we should look at the opportunities of coordinating with Project Wildfire, which is the local kind of South County organization that does. It certifies neighborhoods and certifies areas as fire wise if they've done preventative measures to clean up. And we had actually, Jake and I were talking, I'd reached out to her a while back because they had some grant dollars to look at clearing and providing a buffer around our well sites, because our well sites out Finley Butte are in the middle of the National Forest. And if you had a huge wildfire coming through, that would be devastating. So, you know, we can look at it from that lens and also from the lens of neighborhoods. And
she knows about that problem.
Does she? Forgot her name. Allison.
Allison. Yeah, Allison.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's just the idea of keeping the beautification not just one day or one week. Keep it going throughout the year. And also there's an executive session after this meeting. We'll take a 10-minute break. We have a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Meeting adjourned. Probably just sit there.
No, it's